All right. Welcome to... I go to so many places I get mixed up. We were talking about Black Hat. I'm in Infuse. Welcome to Infuse 2017. Beautiful Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace. Guidance putting on the show, Guidance Software. And what's your name, sir?
My name is James Jardine.
And Jardine, what do you do?
I do application security of a company, DevelopSec.
All right.
And I help organizations build up application security programs. I do security testing, so pen testing, and I provide advisory services and education around helping developers, QA teams, and the like get better at building security into their development process.
Now, I love this idea and this concept. So I'm an old cop. I had my first computer in 1984. It was two floppy drives. And then they came out with a hard drive that was 25 megabytes. And I went, oh, my God, I got to buy it for $1,200. I understand how all this stuff works, but I'm no genius. And when you say that I help people talk about the security in the app development, I went to Black Hat, interviewed 50 people, and here's what I'm hearing. Oh, yeah, what's your company do? Oh, yeah, well, we check for security flaws in open source. What do you mean? Don't people pay attention to that? Oh, no. A coder just puts a code up there. He doesn't care about the security aspect. And then somebody comes in and sticks the security on top of it if they have to, or they patch or they do something like that. And I say, why don't they start with security as the first line of code? Because it costs money. It takes more time. You can't get the product to market and so on. So tell me about how you get into that space first and start. It sounds like you're starting at that level instead of coming in after with a solution.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right, is to get in there ahead of time. Security from an application standpoint has been after the fact, right? We do pen testing, do static analysis, we do dynamic analysis after we're writing the code. And my goal is to get in the front, you know, and create what I like to call the process.
Right.
So as you're going through, it's not just your secure development lifecycle, but also the governance around it, the policies, everything that's
around that.
So you have training of development, and it's not just developers, it's business analysts, it's QA, it's everybody that's involved with the application team. They're the ones that are going to be making sure we have secure code.
Now, if we have, I may be wrong on this number, but if it's, 80% of how apps are developed is from open source first, I'm not going to rewrite it. Let me go find some code and bring it in here. How do you overcome that barrier?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a difficult barrier to overcome because we do get a lot of stuff now from frameworks that are built, a lot of open source code, you know, and some of that, if you have the capability, you might look into the open source and try to review it, but a lot of developers aren't going to do that. They don't have the time, right? As we talked about a minute ago,
yeah.
I don't have the time to do that, you know, so maybe they're running it through static analysis or you're hoping that, you know, they're doing it on their end, right? Are you checking how do they develop? Do they have processes in place? My focus is, you're the developer. You're writing an application, not including those pieces that are external, but the code that you write internally, how are you going through that process to make sure your developers know how to write secure code? Because there's certain things that are strictly coding issues.
I wonder if it was a discipline issue that you know what you do, and I know the security code, and we're two different people that do two different things? Is that what happens?
Well, it's not necessarily two different things. I think it's the same thing.
Right.
But for so long, I mean, I started off as a developer. So, I mean, I came up as a developer .NET since its beta release. And I can remember writing security flaws, you know, and because I wasn't aware of security when I was writing. You know, I mean, this was 15 years ago.
Well,
and I wasn't
point.
Thinking about security.
Nobody was doing what they're doing now, right?
Right. And so security's really come to the forefront, and I've gotten into it, you know, 7-8 years ago is when I made the switch into application security. But if you go to the conference, and you go to a lot of these conferences,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You go out to like a Black Hat or you go to here at Infuse, which, although more forensics and incident response, there's not a lot of development teams that go to security conferences.
That's true. I didn't
There's
think about
not
that.
A lot of security people that go to development conferences. I was at MS Build 2 weeks ago in Seattle. Not a lot of security people there. It's a developer conference. So we still have a hard time. We're breaking that barrier down, and we're seeing more security people at development and a little bit vice versa. But we still have a hard time getting the two to kind of co-mingle.
So is this strictly driven by financials? I have to get this thing to market, and if I put the security guy on top of it, he's going to slow it down, and that's going to cost me $1 billion? It can't cost him that much money to do it slower. Am I wrong?
And it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do it slower when you implement security. Like, my goal is to, I want to reduce the friction. I want to make it so it's seamless for you. So
merge them together at the same time,
There's lots of things out there that show that it costs more to fix a flaw later than it does beforehand.
Right.
But we also have this idea that we're tool-first industry. So you're running static analysis. You're running dynamic analysis. You know, you're running all these tools. and not really updating your process.
Right.
You know, I want to get the developer to not write cross-site scripting, not wait till a tool finds it, and then go back and fix it. But we don't, in our industry, we're not big on that aspect yet. We really push the, oh, I need to have a third-party assessment, lack of, I actually want to build up my process, right? It's easier for me to show maybe value directly from a third-party assessment than it is if I go update all this in my process and start really refining the process. Now I'll have better security through. But right now we do test first, and that's more like plugging the holes. You know, I always liken it to, you know, you got a ship and there's holes popping up and you're just sitting there plugging them without ever looking and saying, hey, why am I getting holes in my ship?
Redesign the ship.
And then realize that, you know, you're breaking ice with a ship that's not built to break ice.
Right.
You know, fix the ship, not don't fix all the hole, you know. And so we have a hard time, I think, making that shift.
So get my little security guy radio brain, my smaller brain, around this concept. Differentiate an app from a program. I had Frogger, I had Quicken as a DOS program. Program. Now they're called apps. I got it because the app's on your phone, not on your computer. But now the apps are on my computer. It's Google Store. It's all merged together. I can't get my head around that.
It's all, well, there's really not much of a difference in my opinion, right? I mean, programs, apps, I mean, we changed what we called them. They're all code.
Right.
They're all running someplace. And you go from it's on my desktop to now it's running on the web. And now it's running on the mobile. And now it's running on Internet of Things devices. But they're all still applications. It's code somebody has written that we can take advantage of. And every one of those, doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter what industry you're in, it doesn't matter what platform you're putting it on, we have to follow the same processes of securing that through the process.
You know, isn't Quicken more secure than an app? It takes Quicken a long time to get those versions out, and it's financial. Maybe that's not a good analogy, but I don't know, Microsoft Word, isn't that more secure than a...
We'd like to hope it's
color
more secure.
Note or something? I don't know. Well, I guess we'd like to...
We'd like to hope it's more secure.
But some not of those, necessarily.
Some of those, though, the reason they may be more secure is that they have more mature development life cycles developing around those.
Oh,
you know,
versus,
you know, Microsoft spends a lot of time putting, you know, secure development in place. And even with that, how many patches do you see still come out for Word
true.
For Office?
Yeah.
There's still vulnerabilities
or
that pop
Internet
up.
Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
Fix it. Well, yeah, I'm not going to use it ever again. Anyway, another story.
All right, but so you're seeing that. The big difference, I think, when you talk about apps on a phone, you know, and you start getting down to IoT, you're changing a little bit, but it's still the same process. I mean, for me to write an app for the iPhone, I'm still doing requirements. I'm doing design.
Yeah.
I'm writing the code. I'm testing it. I'm deploying it.
Are the apps, they seem to be shorter code to me, smaller applications. Anybody can write a code now. I put an app for the show. And all I did was, it was called, I can't remember the name of that. It was a weird, Como.com.
Right.
And Como.com just basically corrected a whole bunch of HTML links from all my sites and put it in an app. It looked just like an app. Probably wasn't an app. And I paid $39 for a month. And I went, that's great. And Google said, I approve it. Apple took 6 months to approve it. They approved it, right? Thanks, Apple. But, you know, not a long process. So I see, to me in my brain, that apps are like a down and dirty, quick, let's get it out, let's do the next one. There's just millions of apps now. Millions and millions of apps. More than programs. More than the box at Office Depot off the shelf. I think more apps, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot more in, I think, shipping a full, like what you're calling a program, like a desktop app, like Quicken or QuickBooks or something like that. You know, there's a lot more that goes into that. Whereas apps on the store or in your mobile device are often smaller, right? They have reduced functionality. I can't do the same thing I can do in Word on my phone as I can in...
That's true, yeah.
I can do similar, but there's a lot of missing functionality there. So we are quicker to put that out there. Now, apps like you're generating, right? I mean, those... They can create generators. I mean, they're simple apps,
right?
They have an app that does something, you know, maybe it's podcasting, maybe it's this type of thing, and they can reproduce those very quickly because it's small changes. So it's quick to make that, and then, yep, here you go, here's an app, which is fine as long as the stuff they're doing around that main template is actually being tested.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're testing that, then you're good.
Now, you were talking to me before the show about branding, and so let's talk about Jasmine. Let's talk about DevelopSec and your podcast and all that kind of stuff. Tell us how you're...
Yeah, so, you know, I started out as Jardine Software years ago, you know, doing software. I was actually writing Outlook add-ins. I was doing, you know, VB6 development, .NET development. And then I switched over, like I said, 8-9 years ago into, you know, more the security side, application security, because I realized there's a need for this. It's important. So I switched
before
over.
Before anybody thought about it, you're kind of first in the space there. Six, 7 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, I switched over. But a lot of people still see Jardine Software as software. You know, it's a, and so I started a couple years ago, DevelopSec. And it was basically, it was a podcast where I talk about application security, but it's from a developer QA application team side. It's not the security podcast for security folks.
Right.
It's security podcast for application development folks, you know, to help focus on them and, you know, have a positive influence to get security in their realm. And I have a blog that goes along with it. And so now what I'm doing is sort of kind of rebranding a little bit and kind of putting a lot of stuff under the DevelopSec brand.
Right.
Because it ties more into security, you know, and people relate that. And,
yeah.
you know, I think people have sometimes a hard time with, you know, oh, it's Jardine Software. But the, but are they security? You know, and it causes some confusing. So
software is a noun, develop is a verb.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Well, it's a, you know, it's bringing together development yeah. and security, and we're developing security together, which is nice. So, and we're also here. I'm here with another friend of mine, where we're doing the Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast, and we're doing some recording here at the Enfuse conference.
Oh, cool.
So that's been a really good time. We've
yeah.
been putting out a bunch of those, and we have a lot of fun with that. That's more focused security of enterprise security. And leadership side of things.
What keeps you awake at night? What do you worry about? The,
you know,
next, the next thing coming.
You know, I'll be honest with you. The thing that keeps me awake at night is the welfare of my children. I don't let security keep me awake at night.
Another one.
It's
you're the second guy so far.
You know, I try to be very realistic about security.
Positive, yeah.
And, you know, you see things like WannaCry that happen. You see all this stuff that happens. And I try to look at it and I bypass the hype.
Right.
I try to get to the facts and say, listen, I mean, we see a lot of this stuff happen. We don't see a lot of huge impact to individuals a lot of times.
Right.
So I want to be realistic. I want you to understand your security risks. I want to help you prioritize those. But I'm not going to stop production because some flaw that may cause some issue. That's
right.
Not really that important, right?
Different outlook. It's a positive outlook. And I think if you look at it positively, you're more effective in the long run.
Right. You know, yeah. I mean, you're actually taking it and saying, I'm going to manage my risk. And that's what we do in security. We
right.
look at risk and we manage it. And oftentimes we get caught up in tool sets and vendors and sponsors and all these different things, when in reality, we just need to take a moment to look at the actual risk that
yeah.
we have. In some cases, we're going to make the decision that, you know, the risk is worth setting it out there. You know, I could risk losing one customer's piece of information over, you know, making $100 million. And, you know, if it's losing somebody's address, maybe they're willing to take that risk.
It's the American way. I'm a capitalist. I'm all for it. But it's not an irresponsible way.
As long as you're
a balanced logical risk analysis.
As long as you're looking at it,
yeah.
you've actually studied it, you've analyzed it, that's what businesses do. They
right.
accept risk. That doesn't mean they're not going to be found at fault, but they accepted the fact that if this goes down wrong, I could possibly be at fault, right? And that's what we
yeah.
do, is we accept that.
Now, I asked a couple questions to people about the latest, ransomware, the big thing?
The WannaCry?
WannaCry, right?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? This stuff's been going on a long time. There's worse cases of ransomware at hospitals where you got to pay all this money. Things happen. Why this? Why was this one the one that all of a sudden CEOs say, I got to go hire a security guy? I thought it was great branding on the hacker's part, that WannaCry is a good brand name to make you think about it. I mean, in one way, right? I mean, Black Hat, that's a great name, right? Why do you think that this one has caught the eye of everybody?
Well, so it's interesting. You see a lot of these come through,
yeah.
right? And, I mean, we've seen ransomware in hospitals here in the U.S.
right.
over the past year and a half.
That's serious stuff with records, with HIPAA, right?
I mean, it is, serious. You know, and I mean, you're locking up things. I mean, if you
right.
look at what happened, you know, Europe got hit pretty hard.
Right.
And, you know, X-ray machines went down. You know, surgeries were canceled. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that happened. But if you really look at it, the true impact a lot of times was there was an inconvenience.
Right.
Right. I had to move my surgery. Emergency services were there. There was an inconvenience. It's not downplaying that it wasn't a big deal. It was. But it's being realistic about what actually happened. What's interesting is a lot of the people I talk to, when I go talk to CISOs, they have my same view of it. You know, they're not saying, oh, we're increasing budget. It's, yeah, okay, ransomware hit, you know, and we're looking at how we address this, but we're not changing our policies or anything like that. In security, we like hype. right? I mean, hype, we're incentivized for
that's
hype.
Right. That's
It's how we market our businesses.
The word security is inflammatory.
You know, and in the day we live, the age we live in, you know, people want to be first to market, right? I mean, news is 24/7.
Right.
We know every detail about everything. And before we get the details, everybody's got assumptions on how everything is. And, you know, we thrive on that as an industry and as society, to be honest. You know, so we get a lot of this out and it gets hyped up real quick. But you look, I mean, we're a week past it. Not a lot about WannaCry. You know,
that's
we're talking about it, but it's died down. And was it as bad as they said it was going to be? No. Could it have
sound
been worse?
Like it, right.
Sure, could have. But I try not to live by could-haves. I try to live by here's what happened.
Right.
You know, and yeah, it could have been worse. I live in Florida. Hurricanes come through, and they could all could have been worse. But I look at it as, all right, it wasn't that bad. I'm glad it wasn't that bad.
I'm still here.
But it could have been worse. But I'm not going to stay up at night thinking, man, you know, if that hurricane had been 50 miles east.
That's a great attitude. I'm very similar in security. Things come on the TV and the news, and they say, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I say, you know what? I want you to wait 3 days. Go see when we forget about it, because whatever they just told you, absolute baloney. And the true story is going to be something not that. Oh, no, they're 100% positive. Nope. And it always, because that's my investigator brain.
Yeah.
I come up on a scene. I got a live incident as a cop, and I interview you. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I don't respond exactly to what you're saying. I wait. I get some more information. And when I splice it all together, that turns out to be more factual. Not the truth, necessarily.
Gotcha.
That's a different thing. But factual, right?
Right.
So I hear what you're saying, and I love this attitude, because this is what we need to do. We need happy, positive people in security that say, you know, F all you terrorists. We're going to go take you on, take care of this, because we got the technology. We're not afraid of you, because the whole thing is about fear.
It is.
It's all about fear. And if you sit there and say, oh, my God, I'm going to go. They win. It's win on to win. Internet of Things. I'm worried my refrigerator is going to wake up and say, you're out of butter, I'm going to kill you. All right? What do you think? Where is that going? I mean, I think
I'd be more concerned that my refrigerator all of a sudden decides in the middle of the night it's going to shut off, so all my stuff goes bad.
Well, that's another.
And then it'll turn back on, and I'm drinking curdled milk.
That's right. It's going to bump me off that way. But I think we got out the gate a little too fast on that. I mean, back in the day, there was a guy about 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was from Russia. He figured out that every baby camera in the world, the default password was password.
Right.
And he logged into all these cameras, and here's all these babies and people, and he got them on other cameras. And then manufacturers started saying, you know what, maybe we won't put that anymore as the password for default. But, you know, nobody cares about my Samsung television or Samsung refrigerator's password. And not that the refrigerator can do any harm now, but what could 1,000 refrigerators in Burbank link together do? I don't know. Maybe something.
Internet of Things is interesting, but I follow the same procedure as, you know, years ago we talked about web applications were the big problem, right?
Like that's true.
You're creating web applications, they're insecure, and we went through this whole phase of trying to help secure them, and they've gotten better.
Right.
Can we still get into a lot of applications? Yes, but they've gotten better. And then we had mobile applications, right? And mobile applications, a lot of new people came in to do mobile.
Oh,
they weren't the people that were writing web.
That's right.
Right? I mean, anybody's writing an app
exactly.
These days. So they didn't go through all that. So now they're doing the same thing we did in web. Now you've got IoT, new to the internet idea, you know, and it's like, okay, I'm now taking things that have never connected. I'm going to connect it. So I'm not a mobile. I'm not a web. I'm now Internet of Things. So I haven't been through all this stuff. So again, it's that same cycle that we see new technology that comes out that, you know, we saw default passwords on routers for a long time.
Oh,
we saw default passwords on admin accounts for web applications.
Yeah.
We saw hard-coded values in mobile. We're seeing all these same exact things in Internet of Things.
That's right. I think they would learn from that. But
they will learn from it. The problem is we have a hard time getting information out. In security, we know it. You know,
right.
I know all this stuff we shouldn't do. I know we shouldn't hard-code passwords. I know we should do this, this, and this. But again, developers aren't going to security conferences. Security's not going to development conferences. So when they go out to write this stuff, they don't have that information,
that's
right?
That's very interesting.
There's lots of stuff that's out there that if I'm in the know, it's easy for me to think I'm in the know.
Yeah.
I go talk to my wife about something that I know a lot about. She looks at me like I'm a lunatic.
Oh, get me started. Honey, I think you ought to do this and this just with the lock and our Arlo cameras. I got it all handled. Don't worry about it.
You
don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. 30 years in the business and I don't know what I'm talking about. I get it.
You know
I
what I'm
it.
Talking about,
oh,
right?
Oh, my
so,
God.
If you are not in that,
yeah.
And because we separate development and security, They're not part of that. So they're not seeing the white papers that are coming out. They're not seeing it. Developers are so busy trying to keep up with the latest frameworks and the latest trends and all the stuff going on just in development that trying to keep up with everything going on in security,
well, you know, there's a direct analogy to, and I saw this way early on. I wrote a white paper at Fox or Disney about the word security. My biz used to own security, physical. And I said, you know what? Now when you Google security, IT owns security. Now you have to type in physical security to understand that group of people.
Yeah.
Security's default is IT, right? You go to a conference like IC West, back in the day, 80% physical security applications, keys, locks, barriers, blah, blah, blah. There is some internet stuff and computer things and software, right? But that those guys are black hat mostly, or they're at a place like this, right? The physical security people and the IT security people seldom used to talk. I know it's better, but they still don't. So now we have that problem, physical and cyber not talking. And now there's a subset problem that you're telling me about where the developers and the security people don't talk inside that sector.
Yeah, it's segregated that out.
It's all separate. It's weird to me.
And, you know, security kind of has brought some of it on themselves, right? I mean, we want to be...
It's secretive by nature.
We want to say build us in, don't bolt us on, but we build our structure as a bolt-on. You know, and you know, we want separate reporting chains. We want, you know, to be a separate department. We want to be separate. But at the same time, we're saying, no, we don't want to be separate. We want to be part of you. You know, but we sit on the other side of the building. And some of the better apps that I see, you know, it's the AppSec people are sitting with the development teams. You know, they're not separated out.
That's
they're
good.
Sitting right there with them.
Yeah.
You know, so we have direct access. And, you know, it's a hard thing to get past, though, because we've just got a history of this is how we do it. And you know how it is. I mean, this is how we do it. It's hard to change it.
Oh, and it's a process.
And when you
look,
development, oftentimes hard-headed. I mean, I come from a development background.
Right.
You know, I like what I know. I don't like what I don't know. Same thing with security. Very hard-headed. And it's two different sets of data that are trying to come together with different views. And it's how do we get those to mingle together?
I was very fortunate when I worked at Fox and Disney. They sent me to a lot of corporate business training, right? And one thing we learned is that if GM wants to build, so it's 2017, if GM wants to build the 2025 Corvette, they have to start it now.
Right.
If you want to turn the Titanic around, it used to take 3 miles to turn it around because it's such a big freaking slow process. You can't just go and turn around and go the other way. I think this is what's going on. We're all going to get there. There's no dummies in this business. It's just the process is slow because you have so many different people converging to do their own thing, and it's just, you know, you got it. But if you didn't get out there and lead and try to make it happen, it would not happen at all.
Yeah, it won't
happen,
for sure. You know, and it is, it's definitely one of those things I tell people, you know, look, you're not going to turn your development process into a secure development process overnight.
Right.
It's going to take a while. I mean, it could be a year, 2 year, 3 year project to get where you really want to be, because just like those other things, it's a process, you know, and you don't make change overnight. You can't implement tools. You can't change the behavior of how people work or how they think.
But there's awareness now, and that's good.
Yeah, we create that awareness, and we get it moving, and then we start building upon that. But a lot of it starts with relationships, you know.
And security especially.
You have to
trust you.
It's all good relationships with, you know, across the board in your organization. You know, we're past the day where... You know, you're running and hiding when you see security coming down the hall because, like, oh, they've got nothing but bad news.
That's true.
You know, it should be, hey, great, security's coming down.
Exactly.
Because what I tell people when I do security is I'm a support function. I'm here to help the organization create better, more quality applications. And to do that, I'm helping support you as development, you as QA, you as business analyst to do what you do.
Yeah.
And I've had, you know, customers before where they're like, well, if you know what it is, you know, just tell me, you know, if you know the architecture, tell me. And I'm like, I don't know the architecture. I know what to look for when you're designing your architecture. Let me help you, you know, design that out better. But it's your architecture. I'm not here to own that. You know, and a lot of people, that's where they get caught up, is security wants to come in and try to control.
Exactly.
And it's like, look, I'm not here to control. I don't want to be your architect, you know, because the last thing a developer wants is to lose that feeling like, wait, I didn't create that. Somebody else created
this
that.
This is a brilliant insight. I use this in the corporate physical security world. I'm your consultant. I'm your free, super-duper good consultant. I'm going to advise you on what I think your best practice is for that movie, for that soundstage, for that production. Take my advice or leave it. And no hard feelings.
Right.
And eventually they come back and say, you know, Chuck, that thing you told us, we completely cocked it all up and it's a big mess. Tell me what you want me to do again. And then it becomes their idea and then you sell it. Now, Miss Jamie, do we feel safer or less safe now? We feel safer. Every show I come out and I go, I don't feel good about that. I'm worried. I'm not worried with you in charge of these things and at the helm and trying to lead it because I feel better with your positive attitude. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, how do you want to brand yourself on the sign-off? You want to go DevelSec or give us your name, website, how we can get a hold of you? What do you want to do?
Yeah, we can do DevelSec.
All right.
Yeah, so, you know.
Is it a .com, a .net?
It is. It's DevelSec.com.
Right.
And, you know, you can also reach me at Twitter at DevelSec.
Okay.
There's podcast at DevelSec. You know, or you can email me, james@developsec.com. All great ways to be able to reach out.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on Security Guy TV.
Yeah, I appreciate
Security
it.
Guy Radio, rebranded SecurityGuyTV.com. See, I got the whole branding thing mixed up, but hopefully it works. Thanks, my friend. Very good interview. Thanks.